On an experiment today, we're going to try and combine the sugya that we're learning with the tshuva that I gave out from Avasha Weiss on the topic of dairy and drinking milk and eating cheese in light of Rav Schechter's conversation yesterday. So we're going to try and combine the two. I want to set up the machlokas in the sugya. Yeah. We're going to learn the machlokas. The Gemara, Rashi, Tosis. I'm going to set it up, and then we're going to get into the tshuva, and then we'll see if we can come back and kind of develop the lumdus even further. But I think one of the things that the sugya Shnei Shvilin highlights for us, and really all of these sugyas are sfeikos, but in particular the sugya Shnei Shvilin, is the idea that halacha does not operate based on what you and I would call common sense. Halacha operates based on halachic principles, halachic formulations, and halachic yesodos. It is not, and that's not always common sense. That might not yield common sense conclusions. Rav Soloveitchik, in a very, very famous essay, actually it was a drasha that he made, but he described Korach and the Korach rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu as what he called the common sense rebellion. That he had good common sense svaras, logical svaras. After all, if the whole purpose of tzitzis is to remind us of the kisei hakavod, and that's why we have a string of tcheles, which reminds us of the ocean, which reminds us of the sky, which brings us to kisei hakavod, so beged shetkulo tcheles should not require strings of tcheles if the whole beged is tcheles. If the whole purpose of a mezuzah is to be shomer the room, so if I have a room that's full of sifrei Torah, I shouldn't need to put up a little mezuzah. What's the point? So that's logical. There's a certain common sense logic to it, but it's not true. You still need a string of tchelis, you still need a mezuzah on the doorpost. Why? Because the halacha is built on an internal a priori halachic formulations and mechanisms, not common sense. And even if sometimes you'll hear a shmooze last night, let's say from Rav Schechter, and it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. The milk that you are drinking is coming from animals that are not kosher. That's a fact. That is a fact. Yet, many, many, many holy Jews drink milk with hechsherim. And the Badat Zeyde Chared, the Samad gives a hechsher. But the milk came from cows that are statistically shreif. So how does that work? And Shnei Shvilin in our sugya is really seemingly an example of that. You have something that's not, doesn't make sense. It's illogical from a common sense perspective. After all, if you have Vadai Tumah in one of these two pathways and two separate and distinct individuals went down each one of them, I can assert with great confidence that one of them is Vadai Tumah. And yet the psak, of course, is that when they come in b'zeh achar zeh, what's the halacha? They're both tahor. That's illogical. That's mathematically, statistically, logically, doesn't make sense. Impossible. Yet, the halacha says, based on halachic principles, a priori halachic principles, that yeah, they're both tahor. They're both tahor. So we need to understand. Now, does that mean halacha is illogical? Did I just say halacha is illogical?
No.
No. What I said was, halacha doesn't operate with common sense logical principles. It operates with an internal a priori halachic logic. And that is one of the reasons that learning is not, you got to be steeped in learning. You know, it's part of what Rav Schechter spoke about in a certain context, which I don't want to say now. But in order to, you have to be steeped in, your mind has to be molded into halachic thinking. And if you're applying, you know, my own psychological thinking, my own this far or that far, but it's not melded by halachic thinking, which demands a broad breadth of knowledge. All too often you have a chashava shana aleph guy who's been learning for a total of 4 months, and he says, that doesn't make any sense. So he is being the prototypical. You know, if I were to tell you, imagine you spent 4 months in a high school, college biology class, and when the PhD in medicine says that this is my diagnosis and this is what I think in light of how the pancreas works, but on a common sense logic, the biology students finishing 4 months of biology says that doesn't make any sense. You would throw that guy at us. That is ridiculous. But when you understand the entire systems, does it make sense that I should give someone chemotherapy and literally kill him in order to cure? Like, doesn't make any sense. But no one's challenging the expert doctors who say that's what you do. Because that's what you do. Because they've studied it. They understand the system. They understand how it works. And therefore, that's what you do. It would be ridiculous for a commoner to say, the guy's dying. How can you go and kill him more in order to save him? That would be a plebeian thing. You know, it wouldn't make any sense. So you do need, when you study halacha, and when you study, you need to get into the halachic system and understand internally. When you start to apply other concepts, again, and that's why you need to be steeped. That's a general introduction. What?
Internally, we do need this background, but I think what Rebbe might have been implying is that Rav Schechter was thinking in a Korach type fashion.
No, Chas V'Shalom.
When he was using halachic principles as well.
Chas V'Shalom. Yes, we always have machloks. And yes, you're right, and your point is exceptional. Chas V'Shalom, like calling Rav Schechter he's applying Korachian logic. Chas V'Shalom. And Chas V'Shalom, a commoner, that's not what I'm saying. He's applying a Svara. And as we'll see, Mirtz Hashem, Rav Asher Weiss feels he's wrong, which is okay. Rav Asher Weiss, I've heard him say that he libi omerli that Rav Kivega is wrong. Like, that doesn't bother him to say such things. So then you got a machlokas and how to understand the sugya with nafkaminas lahalacha. But I do want you to feel reasonably comfortable. If you had milk this morning, I don't want you to feel like you. I just want to show there's another side to the story. That's what I'm saying. Okay, Rabosai, let us begin a little bit. So our Gemara again. I just want to get us started in the sugya, highlight some things, and then we'll go to the tshuva, and then hopefully we'll have time to bring it back. So the Gemara is telling us that you have a case of one pile of chametz. You have two houses that have been bedukim, and an achbar comes along the shokal, and he takes chametz, but you don't know which house he went into. And the Gemara says that's the case of Shnei Shvilin. Case of Shnei Shvilin, where a person, two people separately walk in to a given, to two different paths, where they will inevitably encounter a mace. So in such a case, and then they both handle taharos afterwards. So one of them is Vadai Tamei, and they both handle taharos, which means that those taharos also, one of them have to be tum. So the Gemara tells us that the Psak Halacha is, everyone agrees, that if they came in to ask their question, Elisha, Bezeh Achar Zeh, so then the Halacha is they are both tahor. If they come in Bevasachas, then the Halacha is that they are both tameh. And the question of Machlokes is, if you have one person that comes in on behalf of both of them, so then we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So one point I just want to make up front. If you take a look at Tosis Dimasal Bevas Achas, Divri Akol Tamei, if they come in together, they're both Tamei, Nire, Dahainu Midrabonim, the Midoraisa Afil Bevas Achas Tahorim. So that's a very, very important Chiddush. Tosis tells us that if they come in together, you know what the real halacha is? What the real halacha is? They're tar. They're tar. Even if they come together, they're tar. Why? Because they're tar. That's the din. So why do we give them a din of tumah? Because it's a bad look. Like, at some point, we have to worry about the balabatim. And the balabatim are going to look at this and say, it really makes no sense. So when they come in b'zeh achar zeh, so then we can kind of no one's really looking. Who knows who came yesterday? When they both come in together, and that, like, is too difficult for the average man to swallow, and therefore, midrabanan, we give it to the Torah. I'm dramatizing. That's not what I mean. What I mean is it's schwer. So, but the halacha is meikra din shneim tahorim. Just to highlight, to emphasize that point. Do all Rishon agree with that? No. But I'm learning Tosis today. Okay. What is the reason that when they come in, either bezeh achar zeh, or on a doraisa level, biyachad, that they're tahorim? So look at the top Tosfos. Tosfos writes as follows. Hodenoka taharos velo ka'amar adam tahor. Why don't we paskin about them themselves? Mishum de la gavre afal gav de mukmina la becheskas tahorim mitzrachimu tvila vehaza shlo yigu shneyem betruma de ozat shuma tzmeh vadois veholech veha'ochel b'misa. So Tosas says the whole question of our sugya is not on the persons themselves. The persons themselves, we're going to actually make them go to the mikvah. And if the tamei meis to do hazah, paradum. Why? Because what might happen to these two individuals? They might actually touch the same truma. If they touch the same truma, then what? Then the truma is in one entity, vaday tame, and haochel is going to be over an iser misa bidei shamayim. If they touch a person who goes to the beis hamikdash, that's going to produce vaday tame. So the individuals are going to go to the mikvah. But the question about the taharos is shneim tahorim. Now the question is why? According to Tosa, it's tucked in there. Why is it that shneim tahor? Yeah,
because we judge each one individually, and there's a chazaka that they're tahor.
So right. So Tosas writes, "Afalgav dinukminon luhu becheskas tahorim." A person has a cheskas tahor. So right now, Tosas writes, we have a situation of suffolk. Suffolk whether they became Tamei Meis or not, but how do we resolve that suffolk? So underlying that suffolk is a person has a cheskas tahor. A has a cheskas tahor, B has a cheskas tahor. So at the end of the day, the psak is tahor because of, says Tosis, a cheskas tahor. How will that analogize us now to our case of Bedikas Chametz?
Well, both houses we said were
checked. So both houses we said were what?
Checked.
Were checked. So since both houses are checked, they have a what? A cheskas
bug.
They have a cheskas bug. Now we know for a fact that Chametz entered one of these houses. It's a fact. Correct?
Yeah.
But when we ask our question about house A, what's going to be our answer?
It's fine.
Cheskas Badrik. It's fine. When we ask a question about house B, what's our answer?
Cheskas
Badrik. It's fine. And therefore, they're both considered to be Badrik. No worries. We're good to go. Now, Jacob Linder and his Chashav Chavrusa Simcha Shron is Chashav Chavrusa Jacob Linder, asked me the following question. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Haven't we been saying, according to the Raya, the Magen Mishnah, and others, that Bedikas Chametz is Nitkan al Safek?
Yeah, we already did the Bedikas.
Yeah, but now we have a Safek. Whether there is
Chametz
in the house.
It's like a Safek on a Safek, you know?
It's not a Safek on a Safek. It's one Safek.
Maybe the Chesed Kodok outweighs the Safek.
It's a good Kasha, but it's a Klutz Kasha. It's a good Kasha. It's a good Klutz Kasha. It's a good klutz kash. What's the answer? There's an answer. I mean, it's a simple answer. We touched on it. But there's a word that we've been using that none of you guys understand well, properly, but this is what I'm saying now. Suffolk bia.
Whether it came in or not.
There's two ways you can have a suffix when it comes to, let's say, bedikas chametz. One way, what we've been discussing, is let's say the rota went into the house, and now emar achalte. So was there chametz in the house?
Yeah.
There was chametz in the house. Is there chametz in the house? That we don't know. There we say, bedikas chametz is nitkana ala suffix. Because it was in. So the Cheskas Baduk has been what? Has been compromised. Has been compromised. Now I have a suffix whether it was eaten or not. I have a suffix, nitkana. But over here, what's the nature of the suffix? It's a suffix, what we call suffix al, suffix bia. Didn't even go into the house. That already, you have a Cheskas Baduk. That's not going to demand and warrant an automatic nitkan ala suffix, so that you have to do bdikas chametz. Even though, gentlemen, let's assume for a second, a rat goes into the house. I just want to emphasize a point. This is part of my setup. A rat goes into the house, brings chametz into the house. 50% of the rats, exactly 50% of the rats, eat all the chametz they bring in. Okay? 50% eat the chametz they bring in. You have to do bedikah in that house.
Yeah.
Yes. Why? Nitkana al ha safik. Our case. What are the odds that there is chametz in this house statistically? 50%. Let's assume it's a non-eating rodent. This rodent doesn't eat bread.
Where's the safik?
Doesn't eat bread. Okay. It's allergic to bread. What's the percentage of this chametz in this house? 50%. What's the halacha? Why? Because it's a suffix bia. So statistically, it's exactly the same likelihood of yes chametz, no chametz. But the halacha is not looking at statistics. It's looking at halacha. There's different types of svekos.
What kind of sveko is that? If it's a suffix, the chametz is still in the house. Is it vada that the chametz went into the house?
The house lost its cheskas bot.
Where's the suffix then?
The suffix is whether there's currently chametz in the house.
Doesn't matter for losing our cheskas bot if we already lost it.
Okay, so you're talking now in lundus. But there is a suffix whether... You're right.
It's not a suffix. Yeah.
There is a suffix. Once you say nitkana la suffix, then you're right. There's no more suffix. Now there's a chiyah bedik. Because bedik is nitkana la suffix.
The only reason we say... But if it's vada that chametz went into the house, there's no cheskas bodik anymore. We don't need the concept of nitkana la suffix because what suffix do we need?
It could be a stub of suffix. You might say, you know, it's again, this. I'm not going back to three shurim ago, but suffix bedik lakula, do you have to say that bittel wasn't done? Those be shown in. Those are shown to say, no, it's not a case of bedika, but pittel or achila is because they're saying it's a suffix bedika. Suffix bedika is a suffix rabbanan lakula. The Ravid is saying, no, nitkana a suffix, and you have to do bedika because it's a suffix. That's exactly what demands bedika. So what's the difference in this case and that case? The answer is suffix bia. Okay, I don't want to chazer 3 days ago, sure. I mean, I did, but I just want to make sure we have the concept. Okay, so far, so good. Is this the Sotosis? You see the Tzushtel? What does Tzushtel mean? The parallel from our Sugya to Bedika?
Yeah.
Yes. Why? Because the house is in Cheskas Baduk. And now you have what? A suffix whether there is chametz in the house. The Chazaka carries a day. It's exactly what Tosis says. It's a very smooth Tzushtel. Look at Rashi, though. If you look at Rashi in our Gemara, Rashi divramasa v'holach basheni. No, im nishalu. So Rashi writes, im nishalu kol echad l'chachem sveiko bifnei atzmo, tohor, ve'im bezin yochol l'tamo. Bezin is going to paskin tohor and not tome. Ve'im bezin yochol l'tamo. Why not? Kedekai malon, what is the reason, says Rashi, that in the case of Beis Shvilin, Sveiko Tahar, what's the rationale? Yes? Because Shnei Shvilin is where? Where are these Shvilin? It's a Rishos HaRabim. It's a public domain. You have Each one is a safek tumah, birshus ha, rabin. And what's the din? Sfeikotar. According to Rashi Pashup Shad, the sugya is not premised on what? On cheskas. Tahor. But it's premised on safek tumah birshus ha, rabin, sfeiko, tahor. And each individual, each guy, has a suffix, and it's in Rishon Rabbim, Sveiko, Tov.
Can I hear a case?
Now, where do we learn that halacha from? We learn that halacha from Sota. Let's just review for a second quickly. A Sota, a man, a husband says to his wife, I don't want you hanging out with this gentleman who is not me. She says, no problem. Never will happen again. She went into Yichud, Edim testified that she was in Yichud with this guy. What is her status now? She's Suffolk. We don't know what happened in that room. She's a Suffolk Tmei. Why? Because she might have violated her husband. One second. What's her status? Can she now live with her husband?
No.
She's Usser to her husband. Why? Suffolk Tuma. And from that we derive that, what is the definition of a Rishus HaYachid, by the way? Two people. If it's two people, it's a Shayachid. If it's three, there's company, shall we say? That's already called Rishus HaRab. But Safek Tumah Birshus HaYachid, Sveiko Tame, Birshus HaRab, and Sveiko Tar. Where's it learned out from? The Parsha of Sota. Says Rashi, that's the key to the sugya. Why did Tosis not learn like Rashi? Pashup shots, balabat, there's nothing fancy. Nothing fancy, yes.
They're not analogous cases?
Yes. What?
They're not analogous cases.
What's they're not analogous cases?
Sota in the case of the
pad. No, Sota, that's pretty analogous. That's not bad. That's okay. I thought you were saying something else. Okay, Natani, so excited.
It's not a separate BI.
My question on
Sota.
There it's possible that she's either Tame or Tahor. Here, it's not possible both of them are Tame.
Because one of them must be Tahor.
It's not possible here that they're both Tame. So you can't say Shoshayachid is Tame.
Gentlemen, use your brains. I wish you would use your brains. Thank you, a newbie. Very good. What does this have to do with B'dikas Chametz? We're learning Psach. Safek Tuma Birshus HaRabim Sveiko Tar. Shkoich. So now you bring it back to our sugya. You have a rat, brings chametz into one of these two houses. If they come in what? Bezeh acharzeh. You don't have to. What does one have to do with the other? According to Tosis, is a perfect sushtel. Cheskas kashus, cheskas abadik, it makes perfect sense. According to Rashi, what exactly is the connection? Strange. Okay, I'm stopping here. We're in a pause mode. I asked you how many saw the Gemara Maseches Nida, the Sugi Nida? Okay, we're going to come back to that in a second. More than a second. At the Tosin Nida, how many got to the Nazar yet? Oh, wow, good for you. Okay, we're going to take a quick perusal of the tshuva of Rav Asher Weiss. And as I said, I think it's going to be relevant to our broader discussion over here. I'm going to read most of it. There's actually two tshuvos. One is a separate topic, but very interesting nevertheless. We're going to look at it quickly, and then I think there will be time to come back. So let's look at the beginning, where he sets up the shaila. There are many animals, a nice percentage that are trefos. So if I go to a particular cow and I ask the particular cow, are you tref or are you kosher? What's she going to tell me? She's going to tell me 70% of my friends are what? Are kosher. 80% of my friends are kosher. So therefore, I'm from the Rove, I'm kosher. That's what she's going to say. And therefore, Mutar Lishtos as Chalba, V'lechol as Besara, Shokol Be'ema Be'ema. V'litlot, Shimin Arov, Hakseros. Aval Kasher Ma'ar V'nes Achalav Shal Meos Paros Eich Nuchal Omar Shekulon Kseros. But when you do what? When you take 20,000 cows, and you know that what? 25% of the cows are what? Are treif. So good, every single individual cow. If I'm going ahead and the Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, and I'm just going to milk a cow and pour it into my milk, fine, I could say it came from the Rove. But once I'm taking a lot of cows and mixing all the milk together, then what can you say? There's Vaday going to be at least a good, more than 25% is treif. And that is not Batal Barov. And there he said, Aval Kashamar Vazachov, Shalmeyas Peros, Egnar Alomish Kumon Cheros, Negra Metzias, she's Estimachus Trefos, the Kavan, she's Trezel, Benayam, Sarek, Bittel Beshishim, Ulvia, you do Miss Achesu, Fakol, Kasimachus, Bim Kane, Kol Hatar, Oives, Asuro. That's the Shaila. Exactly what we heard yesterday. You'll ask me, Rav Sekta said 95% of the dairy. I don't know. I don't know. That, you know, he's saying that, but he's saying that after 35 years of milking these cows, and they're like knocked down to a piece of salami, and now you shecht it, ain't a chanami, 95% might be treifos. But when they're earlier in their lives and they're haven't been milked to death, then it could be that the incidents are more. Don't worry about the percentage. I want to get to your sodas. Okay? What? This, no, we pass like Chachamim, we do. We do, but again, even Mir Hamotzi, we do care about Mir Hamotzi. So it says like this, Anias Daiti Kol HaMehuma Hazu B'Taut Yesoda. The whole hullabaloo is a mistake from the beginning. There's nothing to talk about. V'Yesoda tells Mashiach Ligu Ben Din Torah De'acheram Lahatos L'Mada'e HaStatistika. So he says, number one, is halacha is not based on statistics. It's based on halacha. My whole hakdama today was built on this idea. He says, now he gives three examples, which are very interesting examples. And he says, Hageba atzmacha, think about the following. The sugyas that we've learned. Teisha chanuyos mochos basa shchuta v'achas nevela. Sound familiar? V'nimsa eser chatichos basa b'neim. Now you have 10 pieces of meat. V'chi oser levashlam b'yacha ki aleinu lehaniyat sha'achas men nevela. Can you take those 10 pieces of meat? Not one piece of meat. Our sikhs, we talk about one piece of meat. You find a piece that is porush. If it's porush, what's the psak? Hochan acharov, you can eat it. But let's say now you find 10 pieces of meat that are porush. 10 pieces of meat. Anyone mix? 10 pieces of meat that came from one of these stores. Now, I don't know. I don't know where they came from. If I know they came one from each store.
Definitely.
10 pieces of meat. 100 pieces of meat. Statistically, how many came from a bad store? 10 came from a bad store. Can I go ahead and make a cholent with those 10?
Yeah.
So he says, for sure you can. For sure you can. For sure you can. I don't know. V'chein, Ir Sheruba Yisrael. You have a city that is Rov Yisrael, Umiyuta Nachrim. 65% Jewish, 35% non-Jewish. Let's go 60-40. Harov Rosh Hashi Shimachus. And now, we find these like homeless kids. Abandoned children. Okay? Abandoned children. So are these abandoned children Jewish or not? Based on Rov, 60% they're Jewish. So you collect these, you find abandoned children. Okay? 10 of them. And they grow up. And they say, they want to form a shul. They call the shul, Beis Yisayim. And it's only for those kids. Can they make a minyan? Can they make a minyan? It says they can make a minyan. They can make a minyan. Of course they can make a minyan. That was Limbas Arov. V'chinuch alonuch alatzav al kumamin asar v'alo alenu l'tosha arba mitochen. Do we assume that 4 out of 10 of them are goyim, and we continue that assumption?
No.
Guess what? A treifa, a human treifa, is possible edus. Let's say, statistically speaking, we find people have diseases and this and that. Okay, he gives a similar type of example. So the bottom line is, what's his yesod? The halacha says, when you milk every single individual cow, you ask yourself the question, is this cow a kosher cow or not? What's the answer to that question?
Yes.
The answer is, it's kosher. Why? Azlina basarov. Once Azlina basarov, what's the status of that cow?
Kosher.
It's a kosher cow. Now you're going to take its milk and mix it into the pile. Now it's mixed into the pile, and you know 20% of the cows are not kosher. Does that make a halachic difference? That's what Rashi was.
No.
Doesn't make a halachic difference. Just like you can take those 10 kids and count them for a minion. Once, and just like if you have 3 pieces of meat, 2 are kosher, 1 is treif, 3 people eat those 3 pieces of meat. Did one of them eat treif meat? Halachic treif meat. The answer is no. Why? Because Azlina Basar Rov, even though you know the facts don't corroborate that conclusion.
I thought that conclusion. Three things and 2 of them are kosher, one of them is not, you can't eat all of them.
I said, you can't eat all of them. That's why I said 3 separate people. One second. Ela bemet poshut the came those in basarov mahani dinze af kashu soter et has histabruta statistit the chobe mekshera lefi alach hazu al kemishad behem as rabbis mitzayit zepsiyas yet behem kam treifos the ein ze inyan klal din chos v'ner etc.
What's
chos v'ner means? Do we assume that once, let's say I have a drop of milk falls into 65 units of meat, and now so it's what's the din? Right now it's a but so now let's say afterwards another 4 drops of meat, 4 drops of milk fall in. So do we assume that now it's chayz v'neir? So his psak, he says that once we say bittel barov, even though afterwards it's going to get mixed in with
more,
it's done.
So then you can have a mixture that's 59%, that's like 99% milk, if you just keep on doing this.
Rav Schechter said yesterday that Yes, correct.
That's why we're shafting.
Oh well, that's what we're working with.
Now look. Skip the next 2 paragraphs. Look at the paragraph that says, turn the page, Uma Shekosav Harav Hagon. This is an interesting little shtickle. Just turn to the back of that page. Uma Shekosav Harav Hagon. Uma Shekosav Harav Hagon. So the questioner asked a very interesting question. Listen to this question. V'chi haroa eder behemos. Let's say you see a flock of animals. V'nishba, and you make a shvua. Shekulan ksheros, the ain beinayim treifa, and there's no treifa in there. Lo nishba la sheker, would that be a shvua sheker? If you made such a shvua, would it be a shvua sheker? Of course it would.
It depends if you look at it.
Of course it would. Why? Because is there a treifa in there? Are 20% treifos?
Yes.
That would be a shvua sheker.
But if you look at them one by one,
sada bitvarav. But he says ain ze inyan klal nidon didan. Has nothing to do with our sugya. Why? The hashvua mityacheset lemitziyut, because the shvua is being made on the mitzius. What's the mitzius? The shvua is: are there treifas here? The answer is:
yes.
There are. Uv mitzius yadana sheish miyut treifas. But let's say take the following shvua. Listen to this subtlety. Again, this is halacha in pure operation. Aval im nishba shekol habehemos. Yes, Lahem, Din ksera. You hear that? Din ksera. The ein be'eder is a trefa. Shwas emes the fifth. That would be a shwas emes. Why? Because do they have a din kosher?
Yeah.
Yes, because of holchanacharov. Holchanacharov. Okay.
Why is he ready for Robert Green now?
One second. Okay, now I want to turn. I just want to show you the next tshuva for a second. The next tshuva raises a really interesting question. See, there's a real lambda shashai. Okay, so someone read this tshuva, and they asked. They told Rav Asher Weiss, "You contradicted yourself. You contradicted yourself, because in Minchas Asher Vayikra Siman Mem Zayin, you wrote exactly the opposite." What is the case over there? Case is like this. You have a kohen who wants to go into the hospital. Wants to go in the hospital. And we can presume that in the hospital, yesh bo meis. Why can you presume there's a mace in the hospital? Af shema amidim kol adam beches kas chai, Mr. Lowe. Even though you can presume that every single person has a ches kas chai, but can you presume that by 1,000 people in a hospital?
As a group?
As a group? Once, that's Adam Mesuyam. However, Aval Kasher Sheila, Haim Yesh Mace, is there a mace in the hospital with 1,000 patients? What do you have to do? You have to take into account the fact that there are 1,000 patients. So the questioner asks, that's a steer to what you just said. When it comes to chalav, true, this cow has a chazaka that it came from the rove. But now that you're doing what? You're mixing
1,000
cows' milk together. So now you know what? You know that 25% are trick.
You said Matthias doesn't inform did, but here.
And we say don't care, because we look at everyone individually. So if that's the case when it comes to the cows, that should be the case when it comes to the hospital. And therefore, every single person has a chazaka that is a chai. Look at him individual. And as a result, what's the halacha? It should be okay. You should be able to go into the hospital as a kohen. Because every single individual has a ches kas chai. So that's a cute kasha. It's a cute kasha. It's another klutz kasha. What's the terrace? But every individual has a cheskas chai. Yeah, they're in a hospital to get better. They're in a hospital to get better.
Really healthy, normal. What better than a cheskas
chai? Yeah, people die in the beds that go to the morgue.
Once that flat line, do not have a cheskas
chai. Say better. Say better. Yes, yes.
Because we're judging a hospital as an organization, while a cow you can judge as individuals.
Okay, I don't like the word organization.
As an aider.
Corporate.
No. Yeah, you're correct. But not organization, not the right word.
Entity.
Not as a group.
One entity.
Not as a group. It's a the shaila here is a shaila on the building.
Yeah, it's dead, yeah.
On the building.
It's a shaila, is there a mace in the building? It's not a shaila on this person and this person and this person. It's a halacha
on the building.
Look at what he writes. Aleph, dine. Tchilas hashal bekasha cholav.
So it doesn't matter.
Rav Asher likes to speak stark. So let's just, in his beginning, he said, Uve emes ein hanidoinim don klav ikar. Ve omid ani ashnei apsokim. I stand my ground. Elu ve'elu, divrei elokim chayim. Vizol tishlosha signonos. He has three different ways of saying it. Deitil Hashem bekas hacholav, he bechol behemo ve'hema, haim chelba shal behema zu kosher. When he sehukla lefit in Torah, behema zu ksheira ve'chelba b'ksheira, ina dimishtanek Hashem ha'arim chelba im chelav, im chal shal behema zrabos. Aval tchil tashel kabetum asmeis, ina al shum adam misuyam. It's not on a person. Ela ha'im yesh meis babayis. O ein bo meis. Ve'ein anu d'anim mitchila al ha'odam ela al ha'bayis. In other words, the chefza of the shayla is a chefza on the building, not on the individual person. And as a result, you then can accumulate the members of the hospital to arrive at your halachic conclusion as opposed to the chal. That's the core yesod. That's the core message. But the point is, the reason we do this, I went through this exercise with you. And again, he develops a little further, but not important for now. But the reason I went through the exercise with you is because of this sugya. And the sugya is a paradox. Paradoxes do not have to bother us if you're applying internal halachic principles. Kenny Book was hacking me at Shinik and Seder. I gave him a quasi-answer. But I want to highlight the point. He says, how could it be? It's just wrong. It's a wrong psak. How could they both be tahor? Doesn't make any sense. And we have competing klalim over here. There's one klal that says the person is a cheskas tahara. That's a klal. Then there's another klal that says, well, we know one of the two became Tameh. And the bottom line is the halacha says, cheskas tahara has value, has meaning. And then we find ourselves in the same exact situation that we had at breakfast this morning. Did you drink treif milk this morning?
I did not.
Yeah. The answer is yes. Was it mutter? The answer is yes. At least according to Rav Asher Weiss. According to Rav Asher Weiss. In other words, meaning to say, when I say treif milk, I meant bimitzius. It came from an animal that was treif and did not have bittul barov. But when, after 120 years, when you go upstairs, and Ibn Shalom says to you, hey, you heard the Shmuzim Shah. 40% of behemoths are treifs. You drank that milk, you're going to have to do a little time. Will you have to do time? At least according to Rav Asher Weiss.
No.
You don't have to do any time. Why?
Because
the mitzvah is not relevant. The halacha is what's koveh. And here, the halachic principle says mutter. In the same way, again, McKenna didn't like this analogy, and it's not a perfect analogy. But if you're a cholas sheish bo sakana who has to eat chazer, and that's the diagnosis, is there going to be any responsibility when you get upstairs for eating chazer?
No.
Why? Because you ate chazer. You ate treif. But you ate treif better. And these are examples of, there's a mitzius, and then there's a psak halacha. And the psak is koveya. In a certain sense, because I'm going a little philosophical here. But what are you punished for? Are you punished for eating chazer? Or are you punished for the blameworthiness of your action? You're not punished for eating chazer. You're punished for blameworthiness. So therefore, if your psak is... Now, if you're a shogeg, you're blameworthy? Yes, hayilalimav lalama. If you're an ones, you're not blameworthy. If the halacha says it's mutter, even though b'mitzius it's chazer, you're not blameworthy. And therefore, there's no avera. Avera is a function of blameworthiness. Okay. Questions? This is so unlike me, but go ahead. The difference is the shayla in the hospital is not on the mace. It's on the hospital. It's on the bias. And is this an OL that has a mace in it? And that does not ask us to look at every individual mace. It asks us to look at the probabilities of the hospital.
You have a giant tank of milk.
and the probability of it containing...
That's not the shayla. The shayla is this cow kosher? Paskat. Is this cow kosher? Paskat. Is this cow kosher? Paskat. And then, milk mamela is kosher. Yes?
Can I bring it back to the latest study to give you more clarity in my head?
You can. Let me just deal with the easier questions. Quick. Simcha?
Going back to what we said before, even didn't you say that if 10 like, organs come through, as with Asa Achad, and Asa Achad, aren't they comparable? Because Vada, some of these kids...
Yeah, maybe if they come to me 10 at a time.
So how is that different than milking
no, but
all,
but
all at once?
You're not milking them all at once. You're milking every cow. And they're putting, you're not milking all at once.
No, well, they're milking them all at once. They're all getting milked simultaneously.
You're milking the cows. Again.
Don't do it by hand anymore.
Yeah, I know, but the question is, the halakhic question is this cow kosher? That's the halakhic question. And the answer is, if the cow is a trefa, then the milk is trefa. If the cow is not a trefa, the milk is kosher. What is the cow? That is the halakhic question. The answer is, the cow came from the rove, rove or kosher.
How is that different than...
Again, in the case of the child also, I'm not sure the case of the child is any different. In the case of the child, where did this child come from? 60% are Jews, 40% are Nachrim. This child is a Jew. Next child. This child is a Jew. Next child. Now we have 10 of them. Can we make a minion? The answer is yes.
Well, what if they all turn and come to you with us and they say...
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they come. If they come to you with us, I don't know if that's... There's such a thing. Meaning they're... No, the answer is they'd all be Jewish. Because there's no such thing as they're coming to us with vasachas. Meaning that their shilas are individual shilas. It's not the case of Shnei Shvilin, where we both went different paths. So one of us definitely went on a tummy path. Each child came from the rope.
They're all asking the same
time. So by definition, it's an individual shilas. Natani?
But I don't know if this is the same case or not, but Rucheka also said it's not just the fact that it's trefos, it's also that fact that they're like overwhelmed with surplus.
That's true.
But if
Rav Shechter is 95%. Look, Rav Shechter is saying, this is what Rav Shechter is saying, is that at the end of their life, when they're milked to the limit, they're done. And now we just got to get some salamis out of them. So then 95% of trefos.
Let's say the average cow is not, it's not a brand new dairy cow. The average cow, like the average dairy cow, each individual dairy cow has been around for at least some time, probably not 35 years.
Again, if your statistics...
If
the statistics are 90%, you're right. If the statistics are 40%, then you know... I'm not a dairy farmer. I don't know. I'm presenting Rav Usher's tshuva as he wrote it. He wrote it given a 20-25% charfis level. If the numbers are more than 50%, yes, you'll lose your role in a chanami. But I'm going with the facts as presented by Russia Weiss. If the facts are 95%, ain't a chanami. You know. Yes?
It seems like these are all, if there was a cost organization, say, you know, Badate doesn't start doing this, and they were giving hamster to a restaurant, and they realized that restaurant thought it was cheaper to hire a goy to go out and get 2/3 cow and 1/3 pig, and then mix it up so they don't know which is which, and give it to them. They would, of course, lose their hechsher.
Of
so
course,
it seems,
they would.
So it seems like, well,
and it would also, of course, be usser.
Of course. So of course. So what it sounds like is this is all this true apologetics because we like dairy. But really,
no.
That's what it sounds like.
Not at all.
I like pig.
Not at all. Not at all. We again, it's nothing to do with liking dairy. It's this cow. Right now, you have to posken it.
Yes, but when we are certain, when we do post-facto analysis of the cow that Rav Shechter is talking about, that a large majority of them are trafe, then we can assume that each one is trafe when it's alive, and we know it's trafe.
Again, so you, look, the
majority, you don't even have a role.
I would like to know, and maybe at some point we'll find out, what Rav Shechter's response is to this truth. In other words, this tshuva, again, Rav Shechter called it fancy Torahs. That's what he called it. He said this is called Torahs. You have to come on to Torahs. Rav Shechter's saying common sense, simple logic, statistics. We know that this is... So the question is how, you know, what's Rav Shechter's argument? Do we Rav Sakta certainly is a believer in the sugi of Shnei Shvilin, and these, you know, common sense, hard to understand. Why should that be? The answer is Cheskas Kashas, whatever it is. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what Rav Sakta would say to this and why this is called Torahs and not Pshat, why he feels this is Pshat. That's the next stage of this conversation. Yes?
And the confusion between the going to the building and the and to the milking the cows, maybe not to with the Ron said, lay this is suffix.
Right.
Right? When you milk the cow, you had a suffix, and we back by chametz, we said that this thing is now chametz. No matter what you thought it was, it's now chametz. So right now, this is kosher milk, because we're kosher. So over there, you went in, there was a mace.
Right.
And good. If I had a hospital where it was in a row, each room was separate, not under the same roof, you'd go in and be tar in each room.
Yes, that's correct. Very good. Yes, in other words, Shmuel Yaakov is bringing it back to our sugya. The Ron's biggest soul in our sugya was what? When is the latest HaSafik? So the latest HaSafik, we like to think, because the first time we confront this milk, is at breakfast. So if the latest HaSafik for us is breakfast, yeah, Rove is bad. But that's not the latest HaSafik. The latest HaSafik is when you milk the cow. That's the source of the tarfus. It's not the milk, it's the cow. Is the cow a kosher cow? Latest HaSafik says, go with Rove. And Mamela. Good, excellent. I like it. Very good. Well stated. Yes, last point, then we'll let you go.
Let's say it was Chalav Akum, and it was milked by a non-Jew, and then is that going to change when Leda Safek is? Let's say Chalav Akum has, like in America, where Rove is still going to be kosher, so we can drink Chalav Akum. Or what is it we can drink? We can drink not Chalav Yisrael.
We call it, Rav Moshe says.
So that's because the robe is still going to be kosher, right?
No, none do that. None do that. It's a separate idea.
So what's the idea?
Rav Moshe holds that since the government is overseeing very, very seriously the milking of the cow, we can know that this milk came from a cow. And not a camel. And not a camel, of course. Okay, Rabbi, we'll stop here. Yashar koach.